New Testament, Matthew chapter number 9. And we're going to leave our series on 2 Samuel this morning for a special message from Matthew chapter 9. If you did not receive a handout, would you lift your hand up high? And our ushers would be glad to bring you one of these right now. So just lift your hand up and they're coming down the aisle. I want you to look with me at Matthew 9. And I want you to look at verse 37, church. Matthew 9, 37, church. Look at it. Jesus is speaking, and it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Few." It's always hard to find good workers. You know, out there in the world, those of you who are here, maybe you own a business, maybe you're a manager, and you have to hire people. I'm sure you guys could stand up and talk about how it's hard to find a person who wants to work. You know, somebody who wants to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. But did you know that's true in the spiritual realm also? Did you know that God has the same problem? In fact, if you look throughout history in the Bible, it just seems like God always has a help wanted sign out on his door. He said, man, the laborers are, it is the same way in the Old Testament. He said, man, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. I couldn't even find a man who would stand in the gap. God seems to always have a help wanted sign out. He's looking for laborers. It's hard to find people who want to go out into the harvest field of the world and labor for God. Now, people don't mind coming to church. And people will go to Christian workshops, they'll go to Bible study groups, they'll go to Christian seminars. We like to read books about serving God, and all this talk, you know, about serving God, while a lot of times we talk about it, but little or nothing actually gets done. It's difficult to find Christians, believers, who are willing to go out into the harvest field of the world and work for God. Now, by the way, one of the easiest places you'll ever serve God is in the church. Singing in the choir, ushering, teaching a class, keeping the nursery. I mean, all these things. That, this is the easiest place you'll ever. If you can't serve God here, man, you're sure not going to do it out there in the world that opposes the name of Christ. But, you know, when you're in church, you're surrounded by people who are supportive, by people who are like-minded. But to leave the four walls of the church and then go out, commit ourselves to God, and say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a worker in the harvest field of the world. I want to go out and I want to make an impact on the world for Jesus Christ. Those kind of folks are far and few between. That's why I said the laborers are few. They want to go out into the harvest field and try to bring in the harvest. It's kind of like I liken it to a football team. If all of football, and by the way, I'm giddy about football season starting, aren't you? I mean, I'm just excited about that, you know. But if all a football team ever does is huddle, they're not going to get a whole lot done, are they? You know, a football team can't just huddle. Now, huddle's important. I mean, everybody needs to huddle. You need to get on the same page. Everybody needs to know the plan. They need to know the play. Everybody has to be like-minded. But there comes a point where the team's got to break the huddle. And they got to go to the line of scrimmage and they got to face their opponent and they got to try to take that ball and they got to try to advance the ball, you know, through enemy territory. And it's the same way in the church. It's great to huddle. We're huddling this morning. Isn't it great? We're huddling. Amen. It's a great huddle. I love to huddle on Sunday morning. I love to huddle Sunday night. I love to huddle on Wednesday night. It's great to huddle in the Bible Institute. It's great to huddle, but there comes a point where the church has to break the huddle. We got to leave the four walls of the church, and we got to go out, and we got to be a laborer for God, bringing people to Jesus Christ, impacting people for Christ out in the world, the harvest field. That's where it's at. The harvest field isn't in here. It's out there. See? So we got to break the huddle. We got to get out there and advance the ball. We got to advance the gospel, the Bible, forward for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said the harvest is plenty. His problem isn't the harvest. The problem is not the harvest. There are, you know, and what he means by that is that there's plenty of people out there in the world who are hungry for the message of Jesus Christ. There's plenty of people out there who want Christ. They'll accept Christ if they knew about him. They would accept Christ if they knew what he'd done for them. He said the problem is not the problem is not the harvest. The harvest is plenteous. In your handout, it tells you the problem. And I want you to get this in the blank. The word is shortage. Jesus Christ said the problem is a shortage of workers. We are privileged to be able to have with us, kind of a little bit more than the A's, William. We are privileged to have with us the next 4 Sundays in a row some families who have said, you know what, we'll be one of the few. The laborers who want to go out into the world are few, but we're willing to be one of the few that will go out there into God's harvest fields, and we want to labor for Jesus Christ. We call them missionaries. And we are going to have 4 families with us over the next 4 weeks that are frontline soldiers for Christ who are one of the few. I want to bring up a picture. We've got the Branscombs who are going to communist China. We've got the Dobbs who are going to the Mideast Muslim country of Jordan. We've got the Brockels who are going to are in the Dominican Republic. And then we have the Jalowick family who are going to Zambia, Africa. Wouldn't it be something if you said, I want to be one of the few? Did you know that God can use you to make an impact on this world? You can be one of the few. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. How do you expect me to be like that? How do you expect me to be one of the few that are out there laboring for God? You know, and that's a great question. How do I expect? What is it going to take for you and I to be a laborer for God? What's it going to take? You want to be a laborer? It's just 3 simple things it takes. This isn't rocket science. If you want, you know, these folks here, it's not that they're any smarter than you. I mean, Bill Dobb was in the early service this morning. The Dobbs are from our church. And it's not that these folks are any smarter than you or any more talented or you or any more gifted than you. I mean, we know they're not better looking than us. Amen? So, I mean, you know, why is it that these folks are able to go out and be a laborer for God? Why? How can they do it? How can I do it? Number one, in your handout, I want you to get this. Number one, it takes a working knowledge of God's Word. Now, you know, if you do this, write in that word, knowledge, working knowledge, and then go back to the picture of the missionaries, if you could. Now, these folks right here, before they ever went to Jordan or Zambia or Dominican Republic or China, before they go, they want to make sure that once they get there, they have something of substance to be able to give the people that they're going to. I mean, if they're going to go all the way to China, do you agree with me? They need to have something to give them when they get there. You know, I mean, if you're going to go all the way to Jordan, it'd be a good idea to have something to give them when you get there. You know, if you're going to go out to Zambia, Africa, or if you're going to go, you know, to Dominican Republic, and if you're going to load up and travel and go, then you know what? You need to have something to give them. And, you know, people out there have a lot of needs. Sometimes people have physical needs for clothing and shelter and food and medical care. As servants of Christ, we can employ those strategies to try to meet the needs, the physical needs, as a bridge to be able to meet their spiritual needs. That's what Christ did. Look with me in your handout. Your Bible, Matthew 9. Look at verse 35. Look what Christ did here. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, Jesus Christ met physical needs, but I want you to notice He did it as a bridge to meet their true spiritual needs that they had. Mankind's greatest need, you want to know what it is? Mankind's greatest need is not food, clothing, shelter, or medical care. Mankind's greatest need is not education. Mankind's greatest need is a relationship with God. They need truth. They need real life. All of that comes through Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And what Jesus would do in your handout, it says He would meet people's physical needs, but then He taught them truth. He taught them truth. Go back with me to verse 35. All right, everybody go back to Matthew 9, verse 35. It says here that Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And what's the next word? Teaching. Teaching in their synagogues and, what's the next word? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Do you see what he's doing here? He's meeting physical needs, but he isn't just stopping there. He's using that as a bridge then to go and meet their true spiritual needs, the deeper innermost needs of their heart. Why? Because think about it. If you go and you bring a medical team, say to Zambia, and you're able to take a guy who would have died and you're able to extend his physical life 5 years, but you give him nothing beyond that. You do not tell him about Christ. You do not tell him how his sins can be forgiven, how he can have eternal life in heaven. All you do is you extend his life 5 years, and then in 5 years, his soul dies and spends eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. Really, what have you accomplished? And is not that what Christ taught? Look in your handout. Mark 8:36 in your handout. Jesus speaking. For what shall it profit a man, not just if he gained 5 years to his life. No, what does it profit if he gains the whole world? But then what? Lose his own soul. What's he really profited? You see, our missionaries over there on the field, and I want you to know, they do a lot to help people with their physical needs. In fact, I've got a couple pictures here. This is Bill Dobb. And it says here on the caption, rice and sugar, flour, oil, lentils, other staple foods for the gift boxes for poor families. They're taking these food supplies and they're giving them to poor families. Another picture here of Joanne, his wife, and they're preparing these things to go out and help meet physical needs. But our missionaries understand that, yeah, it's great to help with those physical needs, and you need to do that, but it's a bridge to ultimately give them God's Word, to give them the Bible, to give them truth. We've got a couple of pictures here. Here's Adam Branscombe. He's going to be with us next Sunday morning. He's in China giving them the Word of God. Here's another picture of Adam, and this is kind of interesting. You know what he's doing in that picture? He's handing out electronic Bibles to people in China. Electronic Bibles. Got another, and they're going to be with us next Sunday. Here's a picture of Dan Jalowick, and he's in Zambia giving them the Word of God. Here's a picture of Bill Dobb and his partner in ministry, Edgar Fagali, and they're giving out the Word of God to a whole group here of pastors and leaders of churches, and they're giving them the Bible. Here's another picture, and this is our missionary, Steve Brockell. He's in the Dominican Republic, put on a vacation Bible school like we would do here. Why? To give those kids in the Dominican Republic the Word of God. You want to be a laborer for God? He said, the laborers are few. You say, well, I would like to be a laborer for the Lord, but I just don't understand the Bible enough to do that. You say, Pastor Dan, I would love to do that. I would love to teach people. I would love to be able to be a laborer out there. I'd love to be a missionary. But Pastor Dan, I just don't understand the Bible enough. Praise God, you're in the right place. Because if there is one thing we can do at Crossroads, it is equip you with a working knowledge of the Bible. I mean, Pastor Rich down here, he's the leader of our 3-year Bible Institute. And man, I mean, you got classes on anything and everything you want to learn about the Bible. You want to learn? Man, it'll probably be there in the next 3 years. And you can equip yourself. You know, next Sunday starts the growth groups. You could get in that discipleship growth group next Sunday, and I promise you in 9 weeks, you're going to have a lot better grip on that Bible than you do right now if you've never been through that 9-week class. There are plenty of opportunities for you to gain a working knowledge of the Bible to prepare you to go out into the harvest field of the world and share God's truth with other people. But here's the deal. I don't want to lead you to think that it's easy, that it's simple, that you could sit down for 30 minutes. You know, okay, let's see. Let me study here. Let me read for 30 minutes. Okay, let's see. 30 minutes is up. Yep, I'm ready to go to the mission field. No. Here's the thing. At the bottom of your handout is a verse. Look at it. And what's the very first word? Come on, say it real loud. What is it? Study. Study to show thyself to prove it unto God. And then what's the next word? A workman. Now, what's the first part of the word workman? Yeah, dirty four-letter word, right? Work. A workman. So studying the Bible is work. It's a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In your handout, it says there right above that, to get a working knowledge of God's word takes time and effort, but it is worth it. It is worth it. It takes some time. It takes some effort. It takes some application. It takes some diligence. But you know what? It's worth it. It is worth it because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So man alive, you get out there in the harvest field after you got your equipped with it. And by the way, you're never going to know everything about the Bible, but you get equipped with a working knowledge so that now you can go out and you can bring in the harvest. It's exciting. The reward, listen, here's the deal. Bringing in a harvest is hard work. But you know what the reward is? Somebody said it. The harvest. Bringing in a harvest is hard work, but the reward is the harvest. It's like the grandpa and his grandson. And they were out there and they were digging up potatoes that they had planted. And they're bringing in the harvest. And they're out there digging these potatoes out of the ground. And finally, after they had done this for a while, finally the little boy looked up and said, "Grandpa," he said, "What, son?" He said, "Why'd you bury all these things in here?" Little kid couldn't figure out why grandpa buried all them things. But the reward's the harvest. Man alive, it's hard work digging up them taters, but man, when you go to the table and there's a big old heap and helping of mashed potatoes floating in gravy, man, it's worth it, amen? The reward's the harvest. You got you some a big old pile of fried hash browns with your eggs the next morning. The reward is the harvest, see? And it's the same way in the Christian life. It takes some work. It takes some effort to get a working knowledge of the Bible. But the reward is the harvest. You get to go out there and you get to see lives impacted. You know, we don't teach the Bible around here just so you can look in the mirror and say, "I am spiritually smart. I'm a spiritual egghead." No, we teach you the Bible not so you can be puffed up. You know, "Well, I know more than that guy over at that church." No, the reason why we want to teach you the Bible and teach you how to rightly divide the Bible is so that you can then go out and make an impact on this world with what you've learned. Impact lives with it. Teach people. Instruct people. Show people. But number two, not only does it take this working knowledge of the Bible, but number two, it takes compassion. If you want to be a laborer for God, it takes compassion to heal wounds. It takes compassion to heal wounds. Look at verse 35 again. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with" what? Compassion. He was moved with compassion on them. There were a lot of hurting people in Jesus' day. Do you think that is true today? That's why we got to take them God's word, because it's God's word that gives them the salve. They need to heal their wounds, restore people. But do we have the compassion to do it? That's the question. Do we really care? Or do we think, "Well, no, I got my nice little life and everything's fine. I'm living out the American dream. I'm trying to get bigger and better. And everything's hunky-dory. Everything's great." Do we care? Jesus saw him, and man, he had compassion on him. You know, you're going to see folks the next few weeks as our missionaries come in here and they show their videos and pictures, and you're going to see pictures like some of these. Let's go ahead and bring them up real quick. Here we are. Adam Branscombe sent us this from China. And you go to the next one there, and you see the multitudes there where Adam's going in China. You keep going there, and you see the Jalowicks there in Zambia. You go to the next one, and here's Bill Dobbs surrounded by some Mideastern men that he's training and equipping. And then you go to the next picture here, and here's Mrs. Jalowick, and she's dealing with a family there in Zambia. And you look at these pictures over the next few weeks, and you got to ask yourself, do I care? Does this move me at all? Do I even care souls are dying in Zambia without ever hearing of Christ? Do I here, there are people in communist China that don't know the loving God that I know. They don't know that Christ died for them. Do I even care? Does it even, does it move me at all? It should. In your handout, look at Jude 21 and 22. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have what? Compassion. And then look at that next phrase. I love that. When we have compassion, it leads us to go out and make a what? Make a difference. Make a difference. Look at your handout at the verse under that. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me. It's one of the saddest verses in your Bible. The psalmist writes, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And then he says, no man cared for my soul. Do we really care about souls? I want to challenge you to ask God to break your heart for lost souls over the next few weeks. As we have the Branscombs, and then we have the Dobbs, and then we have the Brockells going to the Dominican Republic, and then we have the Jalowicks, and they're going to Zambia. I want you to say, God, break my heart for lost souls. Lord, show me how I can make a difference, how I can make a contribution in reaching out and caring for people. Remember the story Jesus told of the Good Samaritan? Great story. This man comes and he's attacked by thieves. They leave him half dead, the Bible says, in the ditch. And the Bible says, here comes the priest. Here comes this religious guy. He sees this guy over in the ditch. Whoop! He goes the other way. Passes by over here, leaves the guy. Doesn't want to be bothered. And I'm on my way to a religious huddle. You know, we got to do our huddling. Don't have time to mess with that. Man, we got a huddle time over here. And then here comes the Levite. He sees him. Another religious leader, Levite. Whoop, I can't be bothered, man. I got things to do. I got religious things to do. And then here comes the Samaritan. Samaritans were just the off-scouring. They were looked at as pigs. But this Samaritan man comes and he sees this guy in the ditch. And the Bible says that he had compassion on him. And the Bible says he got down there and he went to him in the ditch. And he bound up his wounds. He set him up on his animal. He carries him over here to the hotel, to the inn. And there he pays the innkeeper and says, man, take care of him till he gets better. And then I'm going to come back and if I owe anything else, I'll pay you. Jesus said, which one of those three men do you think was that guy's neighbor? And they're like, well, the third one. And he's like, yep, bingo. He said, now you... And this is exactly what Jesus said. Go and do thou likewise. Are we like the Good Samaritan? Do we care that there are people in Zambia in the ditch, so to speak, spiritually? Do we care there are people in China by the millions in the ditch? Do we care that there are people in Jordan that have been deceived by the Muslim religion and they need Christ? Do we care? Do we care? In your handout, it says we may say that we care, but what are we doing to prove that we care? I think that there is a great passage here in James 2 that speaks to that issue. Would you look at it in your handout with me? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith. If it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. But he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. What are we doing to prove that we care? Number three. The third thing is this. If we are going to be a laborer, one of the few, it's just going to take the heart of a shepherd. It's going to take you having the heart of a shepherd. Now, look down with me at verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. And then notice what he likens them to. He said they were scattered abroad as what? As sheep having no shepherd. Let's bring up that verse, Isaiah 53, 6. All we like... sheep have what? Gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Bible likens mankind, the world, to sheep. There's a picture here I've got, a bunch of sheep. And, as I bring up that picture, it reminds me of a book I read from a guy that was a shepherd. He was an actual shepherd. And you know what he said about sheep? He said, sheep, when it talks about sheep going astray, he said, that is so true. He said, sheep must be led, he said, because they are geographical morons. Now, that's what if my wife wasn't so sweet, that's what she'd say about me. Because I have no sense of direction. I mean, you know, when we're out of town, I go in a plaza, we eat, and when I leave, I always go the wrong way. You know, I'm supposed to go left, I go right. But sheep are geographical morons. They say that you can take sheep to the same pasture 300 times, the same one. And the 301st time, they cannot find their way there alone. They have to be led. And that's like the world. Can I submit to you, people in Zambia are not going to find Christ all alone? People in China who are being fed, atheistic doctrine, humanism, they're not going to find Christ alone. People in Jordan, they're not going to find Christ alone. In your handout, it says somebody must care enough to lead them. Somebody has to care enough to lead them. And there's a great passage there in your handout. Look at it with me. In Acts 8, Philip, who knows the Lord, the Bible says Philip ran thither to him, this man sitting in a chariot. And notice Philip heard this guy reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And the man said to Philip, how can I except some man should what? Guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip ends up coming up there, sitting up there with the guy in the chariot. He explains to him what he's reading in Isaiah is about Christ. And he explains Christ to the guy. And he ends up leading the guy to Jesus Christ. But the point is that people aren't going to find Christ all alone. Someone's got to care enough to lead them. Because rest assured, Satan will be glad to lead them down his path. So God's looking for laborers. He's looking for people who will go out into his and work his fields. Have the heart of a shepherd leading people to Christ. Did you know that sheep left to themselves will die? And mankind left to themselves will die in their sins. And they'll spend eternity separated from God. We as believers, then, we're in a vital position. We rub shoulders every day with people who literally could be one breath from eternity. And we have the opportunity to help people like these families. Let's bring them back up. We have the opportunity to help families like these four families, to be able to do what they're doing. We have an opportunity to support them and encourage them and pray for them and give and make it possible for them to go. Because bottom line, I know some of you in here, you're not going to go to Zambia. You're not going to go to Jordan. You're not going to go to China. You're not going to go to Dominican Republic. And I know some of you in here are like, why would anybody do that? Why would anybody leave the comforts of America? Why would anybody leave a place like America to go to China? You know, why in the world would anybody leave the American dream to go and be in the Dominican Republic or Zambia, Africa? Why would anybody do that? And all I can tell you is this. It's because these families have decided that there are some things more important than chasing the American dream. There's some things more important than having a bigger house, a nicer car, a bigger this, a bigger that, a name brand that. They've decided they want to give their life to go out and work the harvest fields for God. Because you know what? It's work and it is a sacrifice. But praise God, like I said earlier, the reward is the harvest. Man, you get to see for eternity all the lives that you've impacted for Jesus Christ. And we have an opportunity to help these people. We have an opportunity to encourage them, to be a blessing to them while they're here. Next Sunday, the Branscombs will be here. The next Sunday, the Dobbs. The next one, the Brockells. And then lastly, the Jalowicks. And we have an opportunity to let them know that we here at Crossroads, we want to co-labor with you. We want to be there with you. We want to support you. Maybe God's dealing with you about being one of the few. Surrendering your life to go and work God's harvest fields. You can do it. You can do it. It just takes a working knowledge of the Bible, which is just going to take you applying yourself, taking advantage of all the opportunities you have here at Crossroads. But then it's going to take a heart of compassion. It's going to take a shepherd's heart to care about people. Now, we can help you with the working knowledge of the Bible. But when we talk about compassion, we talk about having a shepherd's heart, that's got to start inside of you. We can't give you that. And so what I want you to do is I want you to pray over that God will really speak to your heart over the next few weeks, and that God will do a work in you. In you. Look with me at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth what? Laborers into his harvest. The last thing in your handout is this. The harvest is ready. People, they want Christ, they will come to Christ. The harvest is ready. God is looking for laborers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray it'll challenge our hearts. Father, I pray, God, that you'll raise up laborers here at Crossroads. Lord, we'll break the huddle. We'll get out there in the world and make a difference. Lord, I pray, Father, you'll do a mighty work. And if there's someone here today that does not know Christ, if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus, Lord, may you do a work in their heart. And I pray that they will come and believe on Christ today. They'll let us show them from the Bible how they can know they're going to heaven. We love you, praise you, and thank you. Do a work in our hearts now. Help us to be an encouragement to these missionary families that will be coming in. These frontline soldiers for Christ, help us to be an encouragement to them, Lord God, while they're here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and with